now for the Mr. Floor Tip of the Week. For over 29 years, Mr. Floor has provided Chicago, the North Shore, and suburban homeowners and businesses with the finest hardwood flooring, insulation, refinishing, and repair. Learn more at MrFloor.com.
Pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, there we go.
Just
only took 6 months, but I got it down now. Excellent. So, you guys like show up shorts, haven't shaved in a couple of three, 4 days. It's like you're
It's a holiday weekend, Ron. Come on.
I shaved an hour ago.
Oh, did you?
Clean off.
Oh, really?
This, it takes an hour.
Your 5 o'clock shadow comes at 9:30, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Excellent. So, we've been doing a lot of epoxy floors lately. And
did you say epoxy or epoxy?
Epoxy.
Okay.
Epoxy. And I know we talked about it a few weeks ago, too, but there's something else. We're doing a garage now. And one thing that I keep getting asked is that going to peel up when you, when the tires, hot tires go on it? Are you going to peel it like regular paint? So that's a question I get a lot for the epoxy flooring. And Rich is saying what?
Yes, it may. It actually has to do with tire temperature.
Okay.
So don't pull your car in if you've been on the road for, you know, an hour and your tires are hot.
Yeah.
Don't pull in your garage. Let the tires cool down in the driveway. And if you have a sports car with soft rubber tires, you will definitely pull it up.
And if you're driving a Tesla, turn it off of self-drive mode.
Before you hit the garage door.
Especially if the garage door is white.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently, right?
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
You know, I would probably say 90% of a successful epoxy application is in the prep.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend a lot of time prepping that concrete and making sure that the surface is absolutely perfect before we actually lay down the coatings. I mean, there's always a possibility of hot tires and other things, you know, can cause damage to it. But in general, I would say, really, if it's done correctly, chances of failure are pretty slim. At least with our experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because during our prep, we actually open up the pores of the concrete. So when we are applying the decorative polymers, they actually bond and become part of that concrete.
Yeah, because you guys are like grinding it or something,
exactly.
Right? In getting any oils, all that stuff is all cleaned off of there before.
Right. It's not like the epoxy you can buy at the big box store where you just roll it on and say, oh, it's done. Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me back up and let me clarify that, too, because that's a good point. If you're buying the epoxy kit, which is pretty much a roll-on broadcast, a little bit of colored flake on there, mm-hmm. and then let it cure, and then you put a couple of coats of clear sealer over it, those are the ones that have more propensity to fail. If you're doing the full-blown polymer with the full coverage of chips, that's three times the cost,
mm-hmm.
but those do not fail.
Correct.
And if you're going to do a laundry room, that stuff you get at the big box store, if you're doing a little laundry room in the basement or something, it'd be fine, you know, because you don't have anything heavy rolling over it.
But. Right, and it's a smaller area, and you're going to be able to redo it again later if you have to.
Well, and I'll tell you, to Rich's point, if it's done commercially, in other words, if you're doing it yourself, you're not going to be able to prep it the same way. You don't have access to the right equipment, the shop blasting equipment and, you know, the grinding equipment. So all the things that we bring to the job site to make sure that we get absolutely perfect bond strength. And then the coating itself is an industrial strength coating. It's not a kit. It's a little bit different type of a product. Again, if it's done correctly, I mean, generally speaking, it will not fail that way.
All right. Cool. Hey, we got a phone call. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go to, is that Andrea? Andrea?
Hello.
Yes, you're on Mighty House.
Just so you guys know, I will be calling you a lot in the coming months because we are moving into a fixer-upper. So you'll get used to the sound of my voice.
Very
awesome.
Well.
Okay. Do it enough, we'll get you a theme song.
I have a question about squeaky wood floors. The house, it was built in the 60s. The floors have never been refinished. We just actually pulled up the carpet on them. And I was wondering if there's anything that I can do about the squeaking before we start to refinish that.
Mr.'s Floor.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a question that comes up a lot. Literally every day we get a call from a client that is asking the same type of question. How old of a house do you have there?
It's 60s.
60s, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. So typically in a home of that age, it's really squeaks are typically a function of the subfloor more than they are of the wood floor itself. So the squeak originates typically underneath the floor in the substructure or in the subflooring. And it's a loose subfloor that causes that nail to just constantly go up and down every time you step on it. And so that noise is really just the nail or you know, the kind of the anchor sort of moving up and down within a piece of wood. So the only way really to access it is to unfortunately open up that area, resupport or rebuild that subfloor and then put, you know, flooring back. There are over-the-counter products where you can kind of drive a screw and then the head kind of snaps off and it tries to tighten it up. That's a little bit of a hit or miss. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but it's generally the sign of a faulty subfloor.
So you don't take a 16-penny nail and just drive it through everything?
Not typically, no.
Well, we don't. We've seen it.
Well, and the house is a split level, so all of the floors, you know, you don't have access to any of the floors.
Right.
So it's not like we could come up from underneath and do anything.
Right. There's it's like 1-2-3 floor squeak or 1-2-3 squeak stop or something like that, weird. But they have this, you run the screws in and you snap them off.
Right, and it snaps off. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You just have to be able to, you know, you're sort of, it's kind of hit or miss because you can't see where that squeak is. You can hear it, but you can't see it.
Right.
And so you drive these products in there and you hope that you kind of hit the spot that's loose. And in some cases, you can be successful. So you might want to just, you know, maybe Google it and just kind of search online and see if there's, if you can kind of get a hold of one of these kits. I think maybe some of the big box stores maybe even carry them.
Really?
But you can try that. Or, again, I mean, a more permanent solution, unfortunately, is to kind of open up that area, rebuild that subfloor or resecure it at least, and then splice new flooring in, and then you can sand and refinish.
Yeah, a lot of things that we find is that you try to secure one area, and then that squeak actually moves. Yeah. As opposed to just...
Yeah, because you kind of relieve pressure here, but then it builds
it tighten it up
there.
Somewhere
right.
else. Right. So I generally tell people to just put that in the category of their home security system.
Free.
Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
It's free. It doesn't cost anything. But anybody...
If teenagers, you know they're not sneaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when I built my stairs for my house, I made sure there were squeaks in it. So that way I knew
when
people would be coming up or down. Yeah.
Very nice.
See?
When we were young, my mom would hear a squeak, and I'd just hear, "Where are you going?"
Uh-huh. See?
To the bathroom.
Nice.
Exactly.
It is a security system that has lasted the test of time, you know?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So yes.
I can get a discount on my homeowner's insurance if it's part of my security system.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
See? There you go. There you go. So, and you want to, if you're going to do any of these, you know, things, you want to do it before you have them sanded and finished.
Absolutely.
You don't want to try
Absolutely.
And do it afterwards.
Yeah,
that's what I figured, because we haven't sanded or started finishing yet, so I figure I'd find out. Now, I did a little bit of research, and I did see the screw things. I wasn't sure how well they worked. I also was reading that somebody said, oh, if you pour talcum powder all over your floor, I'm like, no.
You got a mess.
Well, yeah. The powder gets in there, it'll stop it for a little while, but as soon as there's more moisture in the air, the humidity, it'll
it clumps and breaks down and
right.
it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, the more permanent solution is definitely to try to tighten it, and again, a screw is the right way to do it, if you can do it. But again, can you hit that exact spot and tighten it where it needs to be tightened without actually being able to see it?
Right.
That's the difficulty.
Well, and if you have the subfloor, and then you have a sleeper, which is a 1x2 on top of the subfloor,
right.
and then you have your flooring on top of that.
Right.
Now, if you put it where there isn't one of those pieces of 1x2 and you try to bond that together, you're actually going to bend the flooring up, too.
That's exactly it, yeah. Or the screw will just miss altogether, and it'll just kind of hang in midair
right.
in between the sleepers. So
it's
a little tricky, and we just can't see it. You know, you can't see it, so you're sort of driving these screws blind into that area. You're hoping to hit something,
right?
And in some cases you do, and in some cases you don't.
Right. And then when you put it in the actual floor, and then you sand and refinish it, the next time you sand and refinish it, you could start hitting that
right.
screw.
Right.
Yeah, but you get
damage.
These little sparkly spots all
right.
over.
Right. Starry night.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good luck. Right.
Good luck.
Happy Fourth.
All right. Bye. There you go. So, all of these things, because how many times have you ripped up a carpet and then you just find 16-penny nails, framing nails, or just boom, 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 just driven all over.
It's like somebody just lost their cool one night and just grabbed a box of nails and just went crazy.
Uh-huh.
We see that a lot, actually.
Yeah. I mean, and what are you guys going to do? How can you repair that?
You can't. I mean, it's just, that's a replacement.
So you know, you're pulling the boards out.
Yeah, if they're driving those types of nails, you know, with the large heads sticking up, I mean, there's nothing we can do. Because even if we work those nails out, you have a big hole, and then what do? You can, you know, wood fill it, you can plug it. It looks terrible, so we just rip that section of flooring out and replace it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And fix the subfloor while we're doing that.
Right.
Might as well while it's open, right?
Right. Yeah. So is it worth it then to eliminate those sleepers and just put another piece of plywood down and screw that all down and
Absolutely.
Then put your flooring over?
Absolutely. And it's exactly what we'll do. So in her particular case, this caller that just called in, so what we would typically do is we'd open up the floor. If there is a sleeper, and typically a house built in the 60s would have those sleepers, right?
Right.
So we would remove that sleeper, replace it with solid 3/4-inch plywood, which would be glued and screwed down to the subfloor. Then the new flooring is nailed on top of that. It's absolutely permanent. The squeaks go away permanently, and you're done.
Right. And can you reuse the flooring you pull up?
In some cases, we can, but typically the tongues break off. And so to reuse it again with a broken tongue is tricky. We can do it often, you know, in the corners and the side of the walls, those sorts of things. But in the middle of a room, you don't want to put in a floor that has broken tongues because that can lead to, you know, other issues.
Right.
So
boards popping up and warping and things.
Exactly.
All right.
Yep.
Cool. You all right, Robbie?
Yes.
She looks intrigued.
Bejeweled? What is it?
No. I gave that up.
Oh, excellent.
No, I'm just checking on email and things that are going on here while you guys are chatting. So I'm prepared.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Very nice.
So with a tile floor and squeaks, how do we resolve that?
So that's a little bit more complicated. And in some cases, what we've been able to do is if there's, for example, a cement board underneath the tile, okay, and maybe a loose subfloor underneath that. In some cases, if you can work it out right, you can drive a screw into the grout line, you know, open up that grout line a little bit, drive that same type of screw and then regrout. If you're lucky, you can stop a squeak that way.
Excellent. Mr. Floor, we appreciate it. Go to MrFloor.com. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.